Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday, September the 17th, 2023. It's Fakeologist Show. It's 8:03 p.m. Toronto time. We do this show Sunday through Thursday, around 8 to 9 p.m., depending on my schedule and what's going on. And tonight we are discussing all kinds of things. We will go over the last few days of audio chats. We had a couple. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I forgot to put up this morning's audio chat. I'll have to do that after the show. You'll get a double pack of audio. You get tonight's show and this morning's audio chat. It was Rick and Ab and an ounce of salt per day. And tonight's show, we are streaming on two YouTube channels. We are streaming on Facebook Fakeologist page. We're streaming on Odyssey. And we're streaming on Fakeotube, fakeotube.com. That's our video platform that you guys support. And I appreciate everyone coming on. And let me open up tonight's Fakeotube chat, which I have to do manually every day because every show has its own chat and the chat turns into comments. So I have to do this manually. Now, this chat does not merge with the chat that you should see on your screen. And I see a message saying, "Hey, Bob." Bob is my Facebook name because my old Facebook account got frozen by Facebook. They wanted my ID. And Fakeologist doesn't have ID, so I can't get into that account. So I just started another couple accounts, and there you go. So it says I'm Bob over there. I figure why waste my time putting in anything important on Facebook because it just frees my account anyway. But they haven't done that lately, so it's been pretty good. And let us say hi. And by the way, Facebook user, it says Facebook user. If you want your name to show up in the chat from Facebook, then you have to, yeah, it's FBI book. And I bet you that's Jenna in there. Jenna, or whoever is there, if you click on the link I put in the last show, then I'm going to find it real quick. Click on the link and then it'll bring up the authorization for Facebook. Yeah, it's called chat.restream.io/Facebook. So I'll put that in the messages here. There, if you can click on that link that I typed there, then you can get into authorize your Facebook chat to bring you into bring your name into the chat on Restream. That way I can see who it is instead of saying, "Hey, Facebook, oh, it's Jack House. Jack is in the house." Okay, Jack. So yeah, if you want to do that, it'll show Jack House is speaking. Well, tonight's guest is contacted me, I believe, by Discord. Fake11.com/Discord is our Discord server, and it is managed by Wild Times, who has an equal number of pro Wild Times people and against Wild Times people. So that means he's probably doing a pretty even-handed job. He is an administrator. So if you can get past him, you can get into the Discord. And yeah, not everyone likes a moderated Discord, but I do, and he does a good job, I think. Anyway, this person named Leo Pirate contacted me, and we had talked earlier on the Discord, I think. So welcome, Leo, to the show.
Happy to be here.
And yeah, you got a good mic. You sound real good. Let me just pod you up a bit.
Thanks.
And I thought initially you sounded a great deal like Robin Fisher. I figured you weren't Robin Fisher, because he said once he's gone, he'll stay gone, and he's been true to his word. And I almost forgot about the guy because it's been almost 10 years.
So I actually, I had found your website through Mr. E. I believe you had him as a guest one time on a podcast. And
yeah, he used to be a monthly guest.
Yeah, and I remember I came to the site and I, kind of liked how, you're running things. You've been at it for a long time. You've been banned from a lot of places, doing everything grassroots, bootstraps kind of business.
That's right.
So I was like, hey, you know, I joined the Discord. Mm-hmm. You know, I DM'd you a little bit. You had linked me to earlier episodes, and then you got banned.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Keep in touch.
Well, I have an email address, and I prefer if people just email me because that is my go-to place. So I'm at fakeologist.com. So if you never lose touch with me, you just get disconnected from the Discord. And let's not be slaves to social media platforms. Why should they be the ones that control who we talk to? So email me, old-fashioned email. It still works.
And you notice this with the conglomeration of the internet where everyone's just clustering in these social media sites. Many people feel like that's the entire internet.
Yeah, I've said
it's
that.
It's crazy.
I have said that. And if you're a young person and brand new and you just go right into, say, Instagram, that's what your illusion is going to be. But of course, the internet is huge. It's a spider web.
So I was happy to find your little corner.
Yeah, and it's not easy to find. But you actually have to type in a website, and a lot of young people don't even understand that concept, a URL and domains. And they're not censored yet. They will be, guaranteed. And it'll be harder to get to a domain, but for sure. We are still bootstrapped, and I like all decentralization ideas. And
someone in chat, they said being banned means that you're speaking the truth. And let me tell you, I agree with that sentiment to a degree. Because when you look at things like Alex Jones or InfoWars, total controlled opposition, but they know that sentiment. So they play off of it. That's why it says like censor.tv banned, the most banned show ever. I feel like people have learned to sidestep the Streisand effect.
Yeah, I don't like to dwell on the idea about being banned. They're businesses, and if they can't sell advertising with your stuff on them, then you're gone. Makes sense. I have no problem with it, but it's the old bait and switch in a lot of ways where they get everyone. They build an audience by giving away the service for free, and once everyone's in and they're starting to generate money, they shut the door and start paring off the marginal content. And again, as long as people understand that they can look around and find websites, we shouldn't be too worried about it. I get tired of people just constantly whining about being banned or censored. If you didn't censor, and I've said this before, if you didn't censor your own website, it would be clogged with spam. And that's actually how things were back before YouTube and
absolutely,
Twitter.
Yeah.
If you just had a basic web form, it would be bombed with spam, and then it makes your site unusable. So you have to censor it. And then once you're censoring, then you get into, okay, what do I allow on? I don't have spam. I won't have porn. Okay, now since you're already moderating, then you can be particular about what you allow on to try and keep the site in a way that's attractive to other people that you want to attract. We go through that with the Discord too, in a way, where people say, oh, I should say whatever I want. Well, the thing is, not everyone likes what you say. So everything is moderated to a degree. But before I go on, I see Mom with Sons in the YouTube. I want to thank Mom with Sons, who's a recent donor. I really appreciate that. If you go to fakeologist.com/donate/donors, you will see all these fantastic donors. Government is a joke. Stepped up with, I believe, $33 a month. Thank you so much. And also new this month was Kirby Sex Red Lady, Greg S., Mom with Sons, a monthly donor. We really appreciate these sustaining donors, and that just means that I have to show up every day. It puts me under a little bit of pressure that I have to do something and put it up. So thank you guys for supporting it. It's really generous. But Leo Pirate, you contacted me and you gave me this audio of Robin Fisher. So if anyone wants to hear what Robin Fisher sounds like, I'm going to play it now. And it's from January 4th, 2013. And this is an open website, so you could technically find this audio on my site, all the audios are there and free to download. But most people don't go back in time. But I will go back in time and play this. So have a listen.
Well, Biden, he's going to be taking the reins because he's Jesuit trained, and he, like Obama's Jesuit trained as well, and he has his Jesuit handlers. But Biden is definitely one of the popes.
Sorry about that.
No worries. I was just wondering if it was on my end or not. But he's definitely one of the Pope's lackeys, so he's going to be definitely in charge of taking over any type of legislation or policy on that. But I do see a lot of truth in the fact that they don't want the guns gone either, because that is a very big, that's profitable for them. And
so that's Robin Fisher. I thought Leo Pirate sounded very similar. And I think do you think you sound like him?
I mean, I don't hear it, but just okay. Me. Because I recall basically like a year ago when we were talking, you said my voice sounded like him. And also the angle I was approaching this fakeology from. Because if you recall, I think, Robin Fisher really called out the Jesuits as well.
Yeah.
And that was something that I guess we're going to talk about, you know, kind of here tonight. And we kind of mentioned, they said like him calling out that Biden would be in charge all the way back in 2013. Isn't that crazy? Because he was vice president.
Yeah.
But I really like the logic behind him selecting that. He said that, he's Jesuit trained. He's the Pope's darling. Like, I think it's going to happen. And sure, lo and behold, right? 7 years later, we have a Roman Catholic president.
That is right. But nobody makes a big deal about it. The biggest deal about him, Joe Biden, is he was a bumbling idiot.
So. You see, yeah, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight.
Okay.
I come from, you know,
Let's hear your research. Go for it.
So yeah, I'm, to full transparency, you know, I'm a Christian first.
Okay.
But secondly, I am a Seventh-day Adventist, and that's just the denomination, my family, that we're a part of. And for people who are not familiar, this denomination, if you look it up, it's been in America since like the mid-1800s, and they have been saying a very strange prophecy that was seemed ridiculous at that time, and might even sound ridiculous now. Through the study of the scriptures and prayer and fasting, they held to the view that the United States would become a theocracy in some respect. And at that time, they always said it's the papacy. Rome is going to extend its influence over the United States. And if you're interested, who Robin Fisher watched, he watched Dr. Walter Veith. He's a South African professor and also a Seventh-day Adventist.
Yes.
He gave great lectures on the Jesuits, Freemasons. Certainly look him up, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan, and I still listen to Walter. He's still going. And I think Robin had some issue with Seventh-day Adventism, I think. He wasn't quite on board for what, I can't remember why, because I'm not really into the religion.
He had
some critique of that.
Yeah, many people are against the idea of the Sabbath, right? Keeping that. And I'm not going to make our discussion about that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we do believe that we believe in the literal record of Genesis, and that God created all things through his son in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And that Christ at the Last Supper, he said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the fourth commandment is remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Now, what
is
has
that
happened
Saturday?
Is, you know, yes, it's if you use our papal Gregorian calendar system, but in the fourth commandment, if you look at it, it has no calendar system. It's a count every 7 day. We believe that Saturday in the papal Gregorian calendar is the seventh multiple going all the way back to Genesis. So that's kind of how it is that we have it. And many people disagree with that. That's okay. We believe that's a key role that will play into the great deception of America becoming a theocracy because, you know, there's at one point there were blue laws. Now that's not a thing anymore. But things I have said on my channel, which you have up on the screen there, there are playlists. And one of the playlists is called the Days of Lot Sermons. I think
Right here.
Yes, the Days of Lot Sermons. And there was one I had done, I think it was back in late 2018, early 2019, called Perfidious Jesuits, right there. What is the date that it's streamed for?
It says 4 years ago. If I bring that up, oh, that's 2 hours and 10 minutes. So that
Oh, yeah, no. But like what date was the...
I think if I click on more, it says January 8th, 2019.
So just the beginning of it. I'll give the summary of it. But in that stream I had with a friend of mine, I had called out that I was like, yeah, I think what's going to happen is the papacy is going to be pushing environmentalism through the youth. And what I had done is when I talked about that in 2019, you know, at the very been there, around 6 months later, Greta Thunberg appeared on the scene. It was kind of crazy. Like a 6 months, half a year later or so, suddenly Greta Thunberg appeared. So you can see that, not for, you don't need to play this on the stream, but if anyone's interested, near the end of the stream, I had quoted from a book from Pope Francis called God is Young. And I said, look, he's basically arguing that we need to get everyone involved in environmentalism. And in his encyclical, Laudato Si, he argued that the whole world deserves a universal day of rest. Mm-hmm. On Sunday to let the earth rejuvenate, heal itself. And you can see how even if you're an atheist and others, that rhetoric has gone around pretty much everywhere, the environmentalist narrative, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, preserving earth.
We've worked hard in Ontario, where I live, to bring in Sunday shopping. So that's not going to go over too well. And we don't want a day of rest on Sunday. They fought hard to work on Sunday. That was about 10 or 20 years ago. Now we work every day.
It's curious because in countries that are like very like Roman Catholic, they strictly kind of like already observe Sunday as is.
Yeah.
And mainly European countries, right? Certainly not.
Yeah. America's always worked Sunday as far as I know. You're in America, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, America's always had Sunday as a work day or as a retail day. The stores have always been open as long as I can remember, and I'm 56, so.
Well, what's amazing is in 1888, this is a part of Adventist history, the federal government was actually toying with the idea of a national Sunday law, of like blue laws. And at the time, of course, the country was very Christian, right? And it was a man named Alonzo T. Jones, who's a Seventh-day Adventist, he shot it down. He spoke before Congress and exposed that that's a union of religion and state.
All right.
If there's even one, and that's the point I hope I can get across in our little discussion, is that the union of religion and state killed the Son of God. The Pharisees worked with the Roman government to basically kill, you know, Christ. And this is a repeating pattern that has occurred in the years after it. All of Europe's history can be described as the bloodshed of true Christians who rejected the papacy.
Right.
The papacy itself is a union of religion and state.
Okay, yeah.
And even America's history, the Puritans who had fled, they were fleeing to the New World so they could really study God's word without being influenced by the Anglican Church, the papacy, or whatever, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And our Constitution is firmly established on separation of church and state. But what I'm getting at, and in today's discussion, the rhetoric that's coming is really, the theory I'm proposing in tonight's discussion is that there's going to be a rise of false religion or false Christianity. And you kind of see that with Donald Trump, QAnon, and the likes, right?
Okay.
And
Let's get into fakeology, because everyone is here for that more than religion. And I don't mind talking about religion, because some of the religious people are some of the more awake truthers. And you guys really see through lies, but through a religious veil. And that's why I've always talked to people like Robin, and Frank comes on Thursday with his saying everything is in the Bible that's happening. And Dave J.
Full disclosure, I would say this. When I was younger, I usually ask people what started it all the fakeology interest. I was a child at the time, but sure enough, it was 9/11. Have you heard that answer before?
Well, the 9/11 woke people up? Yeah, that's my answer.
I was so young at the time that, this is pre-YouTube, of course, I used to browse Flash websites. You know, do you remember Flash? Like, now that's kind of gone the way of the dinosaur, but...
Because of the security hazard, I guess they don't use Flash anymore.
Right, and at this one website I had visited, I don't even remember how I got to it, but I remember seeing like a slideshow. It was a Flash embedded thing showing that what the there was no plane that hit the Pentagon. It was like a missile, and it was like showing like frame by frame analysis. And I remember at the time as a child thinking it was the funniest and also the most terrifying thing I'd ever seen. Because I was like laughing because I'm like, are there really people who don't think that everything that I'm seeing everywhere is just not true and that it's that? So I remember thinking it was hilarious, but also scary. And I guess later in life, I kind of discovered the books by William Cooper. Behold the Pale Horse.
Beyond the Pale Horse, yeah. Or Behold the Pale Horse.
Right. He also had a radio series called The Hour of the Time. Kind of reminds me of you, Mr. Fakeologist.
Oh, I love Bill Cooper stuff. Yeah, I've been going through it.
You almost feel like you get a glimpse that there was something in this country, in the United States. Like there was something there. Because man, that guy. Now, it's sad because you ever hear people say, if what you're saying is true, why hasn't the government killed you? You ever hear that?
Well,
I'm like, what if
was he really killed? I don't know. Because a lot of people here,
yeah. Like
whistle players are... Whistleblowers are fake, too, just to scare real whistleblowers, if there ever was one.
I remember seeing an investigation. Some people even think Cooper was compromised because he had, like, I guess, gone to some daily... some in his youth, he had, I guess, somehow been involved and he was a naval intelligence officer. Some people think that.
Well, he said
that. I don't know.
He said that all the time.
Yeah, no, he said it openly. Yeah.
Yeah. And once you're in the military or the CIA or the... Or the naval intelligence, you're always in that. You never can get out. Or they don't let you out. Is that true? But whatever it is, he gave a lot of great truth. And just because you're in doesn't mean you're not going to give a lot of good truth. But
I guess the reason why I think he's legit is the content. Like you've said, a lot of great truth.
Yes.
But him always repeating, never believe anything I say.
Yeah.
Verify it yourself. I have never seen that from these panhandler truthers who are like, oh, this is what's happening. They just say it as is. What I'm saying is true.
And you can look it up and you end up on their website.
And he would link to documents. Like he would actually say, like, verify this yourself. He'd give page numbers of official documents. So I'm like, maybe whether or not he was, I'm saying his fruits, my Lord said, you shall know them by their fruits. Let's say his fruits were really good. And that kind of led me down this path. And when I was young on YouTube, way before now, YouTube, everything is just, you can't search for anything. Even if you know the exact title of a video, you can't even find it. But when I was young, if you search like Illuminati, you'd find like these Muslim videos on how the music industry is infiltrated by the Illuminati. That's the kind of stuff I loved, man. Like growing up, I just love the paranormal, the weird, the crazier the conspiracy theory, the more into it I was when I was younger. And I used to roll my eyes whenever I'd see like YouTube videos back in that day when they would like quote the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, oh, great. Like, okay, one of these. And I'd like fast forward past those parts and just get to the good stuff. But yeah. So, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you when I went on this huge tangent.
No, it's good. So you got into fakeology. Oh, it looks like our Facebook people left. Well, this is not everyone's cup of tea talking biblical stuff, but we're going to get the more fakeology stuff and how you came to this channel and what you see in it. So you 9/11 woke you up in a lot of ways?
Yeah, and it just terrified me to think that all of the media was in on it. Much less so, because I mean, at the time, of course, you could talk about what happened, the war, and all the expenses that came after it. For me, I was like, did all of the news really just do that?
Yeah, well, they synchronized on 9/11. They even said we have to because all our transmitters are knocked out, so we have to use one central feed or two feeds, remember?
And I'm thinking, like, do they have any conscience? And it was just horrifying to me. And, you know, again, I know biblical stuff, but there is that, ninth commandment, don't bear false witness. People always think of...
Dave J says that all the time. And definitely don't bear false witness to death. Yeah, but there's no ethics in journalism now, and there never was back then. It's all controlled, and the journalists aren't really much of a profession. They don't swear any oaths, so they can say or do whatever they want, especially if they categorize themselves under entertainment.
And exactly, I was going to say that, and I found out that case about when people try to sue them for stuff. They're like, oh no, it's an entertainment business. And I was like, are you? And the thought terrified me of like, you're watching Law and Order on one channel, you flip to the next channel, and now it's the news, and now it's real. And I was like, everyone thinks it's real. Like, you know what I mean? Even as a young child, I was like, whoa, that's really freaky. And
oh yeah, I thought it was news. I thought it was real. Everyone did. That was the 1 hour or 2 hours a day where everything was supposed to be real. No more fiction. Let's get serious. Let's settle in.
It's like this apparatus. Like, if only it had told the truth, it's like, that sucks. But hey, we're fakeologists, right? We want to study what's fake. And I'll just say, I don't know. I also kind of rediscovered your site because of the interview you had done with Rafa earlier about Capitol, the January 6th.
Yes. I hope it was a good interview. I hope it came across, because I thought his other interviews were... They didn't really get into anything with them. And I hope I got a little deeper into what he was talking about. But I don't know.
I think, yeah, the bigger a channel is, the more worried they are about taboos. So that's kind of why that's why I was hoping to get on your show. And I'm really glad I'm here. Because if you want to talk about fakeology, fake things, I'm basically arguing, you know, the craziest view that I believe the ultimate fakery will occur. And that is that I believe the elites are going to fake the second coming of Christ.
Whoa.
And it plays...
That's bigger than aliens.
Right? And it plays into the state of Israel.
Yes.
And the United States with its harboring religion, not many people know, or rather think of it as a joke, Mormonism. That's really... Oh, yeah. I know those seem...
You were going to
totally
talk about
unrelated.
Mormonism, yes.
They seem totally unrelated, but, and you know, for the purpose of the show, I'm not going to go into Bible verses. I'm going to paraphrase kind of like what I investigated and what I found. But as I had mentioned earlier, yeah, Seventh-day Adventists, they hold this view that America is going to become a theocracy, and Dr. Walter Veith and others hyper fixated on the Pope, Catholic Church. I certainly was, certainly around Robin Fisher's time and others. It was all about that kind of business. But, you know, through prayer, and just studying the Bible myself and looking at America, I found something kind of terrifying. So in Revelation, the verses, I don't want to get into the specifics, but they use that the United States will make an image to the old world. So there are these two beasts, one that represents the old world, one that represents the new world. And in Revelation, it says that this new world beast will make an image to the old world. Adventists have always traditionally viewed that as America becoming like the papacy. But I discovered, I was like, that doesn't make sense, because look, you've seen, it's pretty popular now to be hating on the Roman Catholic Church, right? Like, it's not controversial. They have child sex scandals all the time, right?
It's I don't even really hear much anti-Catholic stuff at all.
If you study America's history, anti-Catholicism is like deep-seated in the roots of America's history. And I was like, yeah, I don't see it. And these days, everyone kind of is like, whatever. So I was like thinking, I'm like, is there some kind of, I don't know, like American Christianity that could be playing another role? So I was looking into, I started to research the eschatologies of different Christianity and you know, Christian denominations in the United States. And I was horrified to find out that a vast majority of American Christians have this weird fixation on Israel, where they seem to think that, you know, Israel is a physical location and that Jesus will appear on the Mount of Olives and save the Jews from World War III. This is a very common view. Evangelicals think this, you know, Pentecostals think this. I just was fascinated. I was like, wow, I can't believe it.
Are all those Christians called Zionists?
Yes, that is the term, right?
Yeah.
And political Zionism started around the early 1900s with the Balfour Declaration, you know, Theodore Herzl, et cetera, et cetera. But religious Zionism is a very recent phenomenon. I would say like in the last 50 or 60 or so years. That's like, again, if you study America's Christianity, they were not pro Israel or pro Judaism at all. In fact, if you read some of the early writings of people in this country, they didn't have very fond views of that religious group. But what I became terrified by is, as I was studying these American, denominations, I had never read the Book of Mormon before, right? Because everyone makes fun of Mormonism. Isn't it a big joke? How silly, how goofy, right? Like, oh, they believe all that stupid, silly stuff, right?
Magic underwear.
And what, magic underwear, right? And the polygamy and like all this crazy nonsense, collab, right? And what I, as a Christian, you become humbled. You learn to stop making fun of things until you get to know it. Because then when you get to know it, then you can make fun of it. But like, you have to know something.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, let me check out Book of Mormon. And what I discovered, man, shook me to my core. Because the Book of Mormon was written around 1830 specifically.
Okay.
Joseph Smith, upstate New York, golden plates, whatever, right? But in this, he basically described Christian Zionism in the 1830s. He said that the literal Israel in the old world, Jerusalem, will be restored. And in the United States, they're going to make the new Jerusalem. He wrote this in the 1830s.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, whoa, I didn't know this, but the if you will, the Jewish or Israel Zionist connection to Mormonism is, no one knows about this. This is like a hidden truth. No one seems to know. Everyone just writes off Mormonism, says it's ridiculous, it's silly, it's funny, right? The people who make fun of Mormonism, no one ever talks about its Zionist connection. But again, 1830, so this is pre-Balfour Declaration, pre-political Zionism even.
Well, this guy was right across the lake from me. Manchester, New York. Wow. Who knew? I'm just looking
at it. He's a character.
Yeah, it's very close by. It's literally right across the lake from me. A little south of Rochester, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Like upstate New York. I think it was Palmyra, New York he had done, which is like...
It says Manchester, really. New York is a town in Ontario County. And I guess the Ontario is the Indians that lived around the lake, I guess. Or maybe no.
And let me tell you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Upstate New York has a fascinating history with Christian revivals. Because remember, like I said, America was this place, the New England area was the place where people fled from Europe to be able to study the scriptures as it reads. And yeah, a lot of weird stuff came from it, of course. Then you have the Great Disappointment, which is where the Seventh-day Adventist movement came from, where they believed that Christ was going to return in 1844. It's just a fascinating history, right? But the focus on with Mormonism is it has deep ties to Freemasonry. So you have Joseph Smith, his brother and his father were Freemasons. The thing I implore everyone who's in the audience here, if you like reading the Bible, if you know the Bible well, I encourage you, please read Book of Mormon. Read it. Because if you do know Christ and the Bible well, the Book of Mormon's like a horror novel. It has so many things in there that you begin to realize. So full disclosure between you and me, I don't believe Joseph Smith is a con man. I don't believe he was a crazy person, right?
Uh-huh.
I believe Joseph Smith literally worked with Lucifer to create this book. It's satanic. And I don't mean that in... a country bumpkin Baptist kind of way, like, oh, it's satanic. I mean, literally Moroni, maybe you've heard that, the angel he saw, appears as an angel of light. And the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, he says that, behold, Satan himself appears as an angel of light. And there are so many doctrines and little inversions in Book of Mormon that are just basically satanically inspired. I don't believe this uneducated farmhand from upstate New York was able to compile this religious tome, if you will, in less than 9 months.
So who do you think wrote it?
Printed around. I believe he channeled it. That was another thing, spiritualism in the early 1800s.
But no, do you think somebody else wrote it, like the Jesuits or something, and just made up this story about Joseph Smith?
So Oliver Cowdery is the one who Joseph Smith dictated it to.
Oh, yeah.
Not unlike, so by the way, another thing, the parallels between Islam and Mormonism are also tangible. They both involve a young, uneducated prophet who encounter an angel of light and then dictate an extra biblical text that undermines or attacks the sonship of Christ. And I know I said I wouldn't read a lot of Bible verses, but, and I'm not going to, a lot, just one. Give me a license for one Bible verse.
Okay.
this is important for everyone here. Because if I ask you, when you think of a false prophet, what do you think? Right? Maybe someone who says, oh, I have a vision from God. This is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you think? Curiously, in Moses' book, Deuteronomy, this is the final speech he gave before he died. He actually gives us another definition of a false prophet. For everyone who's listening to this recording or watching it, etch this into your brain because this will help you get through the coming years. Moses, he wrote, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. So I bring that up because this gives a different definition. This is Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. Sorry, I forgot to say it, but it gives a different definition. It says, by the way, Satan has prophets too that can say things that do happen. Right? The pop culture notion of a false prophet is someone who says, oh, this is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen, and everyone, you know, kind of goes after and says, oh, you're a false prophet. No, in the Bible, very clearly teaches that there are false prophets who say things that do happen. But how do you defend yourself? It says, let us go after other gods. So we can tell, even if a prophet gives signs or wonders that do happen, you can tell it's a false prophet based on what God they tell you to worship. And this is crucial. This is how you get past all the fakery, the deception of Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, all of it. You have to ask yourself, is this the character of God? Is this the God that Christ came to reveal? And while studying Mormonism, you find some horrifying stuff and you realize, no, this is not the character of God. I'd like to just highlight an example of a one choice quote from the Book of Mormon. It's found in 2 Nephi. I don't know if you know this. Book of Mormon has like sub-books.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chapters here on Wikipedia. And that Oliver guy, he got kicked out of whatever the church was for having sex with his teenage slave. What a surprise.
That's another thing I want to tell you. The people who debunk Mormonism or Book of Mormon, it's like they're baited. They always go to the nonsense, the scandals.
Right.
The
sordid that's past human history. Nature. Yeah.
Right. But no one goes to the Book of Mormon itself and sees what is it prophesying? What is it teaching?
Yeah. Well, right? That's just human
and that's
nature.
What,
we go for the salacious stuff.
It makes for good comedy. Like South Park did a whole episode. There's a musical about it.
Oh, wow. Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's some play or something. It was called The Book of Mormon, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was called The Book of Mormon, too. And it was pretty outrageous, but the music was... Is it Trey Parker, Matt Stone? Yeah. Trey, he actually knows how to do music.
It must have cracked you up knowing so much about it.
Well, at the time, I didn't.
Oh, I see.
This is the thing I was going to get at, is that, you know, this recent studies into Mormonism only happened about, I'd say, a year and a half ago when an online friend of mine said, hey, you got to debate this one guy, because I do a lot of online discussions about just Christian opinions. He's like, oh, you got to debate this one guy. And I said, oh, you know, why? He's like, he's so weird. He's Mormon. And I was like, what? And I realized I had never read the Book of Mormon. So that's what started this whole, you know, journey. And let me tell you, man, to leave off like what I had said before, I said the character of God, right? This is a quote from Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi 29. This is supposedly God speaking, okay? Mm-hmm. And I'll just read it to you. The Mormon God, the Mormon Jesus says, because my words shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We have got a Bible. And there cannot be any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fools, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And what thank they, the Jews, for the Bible which they receive from them? O ye Gentiles, have you remembered the Jews, mine ancient covenant people? Nay, but ye have cursed them, and have hated them, and have not sought to recover them. But behold, I will return all these things upon your own heads, for I, the Lord, have not forgotten my people. Thou fool that shall say, a Bible. We have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Huh. Okay. That freaked me out, because did you hear the part where it says, my word shall hiss forth?
Yeah.
That's weird, right? That's a little
weird. That's a snake.
Yeah. And the character, it's almost making fun of people who are doing what I was doing, where I'm like, I'm comparing the Bible with Book of Mormon. It's like, oh, these people who are like, oh, they read the Bible and they take it way too seriously. Oh, those people are fools. Don't they know? The Bible came from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And yeah, again, I don't want to read too many quotes, but there are, the Book of Mormon prophesizes of the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States. It prophesied of the rise of atheism. It prophesies so many different things that you might just say, eh, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But when you remember the historical context that this was written in 1830, you start to realize, no, Joseph Smith did not work by himself. He worked with an angel of light. Like, I literally believe he channeled it and spoke it to Oliver Cowdery, who then, you know, wrote it down. Because again, this blurs the line. I know people here, if you only have a secular view, if you only have a secular worldview, go and watch South Park. Like, go and watch the Book of Mormon musical. You can laugh at the scandals, the nonsense, all the, you know, all the stuff. But if you're a Christian, I hope there might be some Christians in the audience, look at it with spiritual lenses. And yeah, and people are shocked when I say, I don't believe Joseph Smith was a con man or a plagiarist, you know, or I think he literally channeled like either some fallen angel or Lucifer to create this, because the number of these details that are there. So when I told you about a false prophet giving a sign or a wonder and it comes to pass, that's a fake prophecy. Because like if I told you, fakeologist, right?
Yeah.
I have a vision from God. Your car is going to break down tomorrow.
Right.
And then at night, I come and cut like your, I don't know, a part of your car's wiring or something. And then you wake up the next morning, you start your car. My car is, wow, what Leo Pirate said was true, right?
Yeah, you got to prove your miracles pretty close to when you call them so people believe them. Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't know that I had come at night, like you'd think, wow, I guess this guy's like a prophet, right? This is the same principle I'm getting at with Book of Mormon. It truly is from the depths of hell. Like it's from demons. There are many other things where in Doctrine and Covenants, Jesus, and by the way, when I say Mormon Jesus, I believe it's Lucifer. He tells Joseph Smith, go as far west as possible, for there are wars and rumors of wars. And if you look into the history, very few Mormons, I think it was Mormons had the smallest number of casualties during the Civil War, because they moved as far west as possible.
Yeah. To Utah.
Yep. And of course, yeah, Joseph Smith died in 1844, and I think it was after they built the Nauvoo Temple. And yeah, this is the craziness that I found, because it kind of requires a little bit of biblical literacy. But I will say that the part about Israel, that angle, is something I never see people talk about, ever. And it gets a little supernatural, because it's like you realize, whoa, all this Israel worship plays perfectly into the hands of the elite. Uh-huh. And I hope my thoughts aren't too disorganized, you know, if you want to rein me in.
I really don't know much about the Book of Mormon. That's why I'm just listening, because I have nothing to say that I don't know anything about it. But
okay.
I don't even know the official story until you told me, and I'm reading a little bit of Wikipedia while you're talking to try and get a handle on it. But
I should be more ordered. Like, I'll start with the history.
Well, it's a very big church, is it not, in Utah? It's very large. Is it based worldwide in Utah?
So this is, yeah, and that's where we're going to get into it. Mormonism is the fourth most popular denomination in this country.
Okay.
And in the United States. And Utah mm-hmm. is a mini theocracy within the United States.
Right.
Already.
Their Vatican I watched the show Big Love. Did you see that one? That was,
I haven't.
It was pretty good. It was about It was about polygamy mainly, and the guy with four wives and the problems of four wives. But they were in Utah in a fictional city, and I guess they're Mormons. And it was the guy from Bill Paxton was in it. I think he was in a couple big movies back in the day when this came out. Tornado, maybe.
Oh, Tornado. Was it Twister or something?
Twister, yeah. Sorry, Twister.
Yeah. But that brings me, to my childhood. But
but it did seem like quite the cult of a religion. But then you could say all religions are cults.
Well, this is the thing, is you look into American history, people, even in Joseph Smith, everyone mocked and ridiculed and persecuted Mormons, right? And this is where I'm getting at with the biblical aspect.
Yeah.
Think of Catholicism. Okay, so Catholicism was a top-down conversion with, you have like, you know, Eusebius, the great flatterer of Constantine, and the Roman pagan government converted to Catholicism, which is just paganism with a garb of Christianity over it, and it was top down, right? And you had your apostolic bishops, and then, you know, with the Justinian decree, you get the title of a pope around 538 AD, right? That was in the old world, the papacy. In the new world, I believe it's happening bottom up. So Mormonism started in upstate New York. They were mercilessly persecuted, mocked. They fled, right? Joseph Smith was killed, you know, around 18, you know, in 1844. Brigham Young took over, and they went all the way west to, at the time, we call it Utah. They established it as Deseret. And it was, get this, established outside of the borders of the United States at the time.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was brought in after a war. I think it was the Mexican-American War. I forget which war, but like it came in. Then now we have as Utah. But it was always a theocracy, and it still is to this day. Utah is one of the only states that actually still allows execution by firing squads, which, you know, you could argue about whether or not that's a more humane form of execution. For me, I'm not concerned about that. What I'm more concerned with is the reason why they have that.
Go ahead.
A part of their religious belief of blood atonement. They think that if you are killed and your blood is spilled, then your blood, in addition to Christ, can cover your sins. And, you know, we talked about earlier, union of religion and state. That's spooky stuff. I don't like that. You know, lo and behold, within our own country. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, yeah, within our own, well, at least, I'm sorry, United States, we already have a mini theocracy. We already have a Vatican within the United States. And what I'm going to talk about with the Mormon machine is something I think people overlook. They probably think of Mitt Romney, right? And they go, huh, you know, Mitt Romney.
Yeah, he's like the most prominent Mormon. Didn't he just quit something?
I haven't been keeping up with him, but that's usually when people think Mormon politicians, they limit it to just Mitt Romney or maybe Orrin Hatch, who passed away, right? They just think of maybe who's the senator or representative of Utah, right? And they just limit it to that.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at their university, Brigham Young University, they actually, federal agencies like the FBI, the CIA, NSA, they hire extensively from graduates of Brigham Young University. And they're excellent hires, Mormons are. They're clean cut. They don't do drugs. They go to bed early. They wake up early. They're so obedient.
They're good slaves.
If anyone here is very good slaves. And if anyone's into the occult, the logo they use in Deseret is a bee.
Do they still call it Deseret?
I think it's now only out of a gesture. They kind of refer to it as, now it's just called Salt Lake City in Utah, but the symbol that is Deseret is a bee. They're all like worker bees, you know? And yeah, they're great slaves. They work in that way.
Why is it called Deseret? Is it something to do with the desert?
So it's spelled with two. Is it Deseret? Oh, I think that was it. Deseret, Utah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it comes from Book of Mormon. At least the title does.
Oh, meaning honeybee, yeah. Oh, I see, yeah.
So they're worker bees, you know, and
Deseret.
Okay.
Oh, Wikipedia added the ability to listen to the pronunciations now?
Yeah, you can just click on this speaker here.
Oh, wow. Because I feel like I've always looked at those, like, you know, the way they spell it out that way. I'm like, oh, how do I pronounce this? But the thing is...
Well, Deseret is huge. That was in 1849. It went right down to Mexico.
Yeah.
So there's...
Oh, yeah. And that's...
So there's Utah, the Utah Territory. But the actual state of Utah, where the heck is it? Is it here? Over here? I can't even... remember where it is on this map, but that's the territory of Utah. That's not the state of Utah.
Right. And I guess what I discovered while studying this history is the history of the LDS Church. This is a big thing. I forgot to mention this point. They don't call themselves Mormons anymore. They call themselves the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
They have actually been making a concerted effort to expunge the term Mormon. To give you a creepy example, there's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir on YouTube, which where they do they have their choir singing music. I had been subscribed to them for some time. Just recently, in the last year, they've changed the YouTube channel to the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square.
Oh, the nicknames of Utah: Beehive State, the Mormon State, Deseret. Their motto is industry. So everything you're saying is in sync with that.
And it's curious because when it comes to the connection to Freemasonry, I don't know how many people are familiar with this. You can probably look it up from William Cooper. He did a great Hour of the Time episode on it. It's called British Israelism.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, from William Cooper, yeah. He had a great expose on it, but
it's a
Masonic belief. British Israelism is what it's called.
But, okay.
You don't need to play it on the show, but if you ever want to...
No, I'm going to put a link to it.
Hmm?
I'm going to put a link to it if I can find it, because I'll forget if I don't look it up. British Israelism. I don't think that was it.
I'm going to look it up myself, because I know YouTube won't find it. British Israelism, William Cooper.
Oh, right. Okay. So what is that, and how's that connected to Mormonism? I missed that. Sorry.
So I briefly mentioned that Mormonism has a big, and I'll send this to you in the private chat, and then you can post, or I could post in the public chat.
Yeah. Oh, you found, here it is. YouTube found it.
Good evening. You're 15 listening minutes. To the-
yeah. And Christian Identity. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure that's the right episode.
Yeah.
And so what it is if you're ever interested, I'll summarize it in as best I can. This is a Masonic belief, and it's really a perversion of the New Covenant, where they believe that salvation is tied to your genetics. And it's really where we get to this idea of a literal state of Israel. It's been around for a while. They believe that, quick summary. So there was King David, and then he had a son named King Solomon, and then his son was Rehoboam, and they split the 10 northern tribes of Israel and the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin. The 10 northern tribes of Israel were scattered by the Assyrians. This is in the Bible. This is just historical facts, right? What British Israelism is the belief that those 10 northern tribes, the Bible says no one knows who they are. They're just lost. British Israelism teaches that they're actually tied to people of Anglo descent. And this is a key tenet of Mormonism. They won't explicitly say it, but they believe that they are gathering the lost 10 tribes of Israel in the New World. This is why Mormons are so white and delightsome. And that's a phrase from Book of Mormon, by the way. They're so white and delightsome because they actually believe they're establishing, gathering Ephraim, or the 10 northern tribes of Israel, here in the United States, while simultaneously establishing Jerusalem in the Old World.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the Jews in Jerusalem, all the white and delightsome Israelites in America. That's what they're trying to do. And again, this makes sense when you know the Masonic connection to Mormonism. Mormonism is deeply, deeply Masonic. Their temple rites, their history, it's just Masonry, right?
Interesting. How does this tie in with dispensationalism? I remember way back in the day, I was talking to a guy named Walt, somebody who talked about dispensationalism, which is something to do with the second coming of Christ. You know about that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, basically, I'll summarize as best I can. In the So I mentioned the word Christian dispensation.
Okay.
Throughout the entire Old Testament, it's contrary to popular belief, God did not choose the, you know, Abraham's lineage, or if you will, the Israelites or the Jews. God didn't choose them. He created them because Abraham and Sarah, the birth of Isaac was a miracle, right? And what you begin to understand from reading the New Testament is even though the Old Testament is literal history, the entire life of these people was a symbol, like a stage. The Apostle Paul explains that we are living in a fractal stage play that's self-referencing. And he does this by explaining how in 1 Corinthians 10, when the Israelites were freed out of slavery from Egypt, when Moses parted the Red Sea and they walked through it, Paul says that that represented baptism. When they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, that represents the life of the trials and disappointments a Christian kind of experiences. And when they got to the promised land of Canaan, that represents heaven. And there are many things like that throughout the history of these people. And what I'm getting at is basically once Christ was crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven, Jew no longer is a race. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling this to people. When people refer to Judaism, it's unique. You notice that? It's both a religion and a race.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard that?
Oh, of course.
That's weird.
That's why no one can get a handle on it.
Right? I mean, imagine if someone asked me, like, oh, what's your race? What's your ethnicity? I said, oh, I'm Christian. I'd be like, did you hear me correctly? I said, what's your ethnicity?
Yeah, ethnicity, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. That's why it's such a, yeah, it's so hard to pin it down.
Oh, yeah. Well, the easiest way to do it is to make it absolutely clear. Judaism is a religion, full stop, nothing else. I don't care what they say. I don't care about the genetic lineage to Abraham and stuff because it's a religion. And the Apostle Paul explains, he was of the tribe of Benjamin, right? That when Christ, his spirit, was poured out on the day of Pentecost, a true Israelite or a true Jew is one who has the spirit of Christ dwelling in them. It has nothing to do with genetics. This is kind of what I alluded to earlier, where so much of America's Christianity is fixated on the state of Israel.
Yeah.
When if you actually are Christian, Israel is the believers all around the world, those who believe in Christ as the Son of God. That's the real Israel is not a physical location.
Yeah.
It's not a genetic lineage. It's people who have the spirit of Christ dwelling in them. And all of the American Christians in the 1800s understood this. This was simple. This is a fact. Don't take my word for it. Look it up yourself. You know, look up the writings of Charles Finney. Look up E.J. Wagner. You know, a bunch of names I could go off and off.
How did this go away? So everyone's believing in, I guess, the wrong story today.
Yeah, and this is what happened is the political Zionism that was established, it was originally a political movement.
Right, okay.
But once it was actually established, false, as Christ had warned, he said this, he warned that this was going to happen. He warned of false prophets.
Right.
False teachers, right?
Are they the false Jews?
Well, the thing is, again, I know about people who mentioned the Eastern European, Khazarian angle and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. The thing is, I don't care because like, yeah, I guess even genetically, no, they're not even related to Abraham, but who cares? Because if you go, the way I say it, if you go from that angle, you still are toying with the idea Judaism is a race. You catch my drift?
It's not.
So I don't even.
You don't believe it is.
It's a religion. Yeah. And that's why I love telling people, maybe you've heard this before. Don't you know Jesus was a Jew?
Yes, I've heard
no,
that.
No, he wasn't.
The idea of Jew wasn't even an idea back then, was it?
Well, it was, but it was purely racial. Like, yes, Christ was of the tribe of Judah, so he was a Jew racially. But today, in our day and age, when people say Jew, you're not talking about from the tribe of Judah or Benjamin. Really, these Eastern European-looking people. You say, oh, what tribe were you from? Oh, do you know it? It's a total, total farce. Like, Judaism is a religion. I've seen... If you look up this man named like Luke Ford, an Australian wearing a kippah, like it does not matter your race. Like anyone can convert to Judaism.
Yeah.
Right. But when they want to make laws, when they want to make appeals, then they're a race. So to untie that knot, just say it's a religion. And no, my Lord did not believe in the religion that killed him. So, yeah. When people say, oh, Jesus was a Jew, I say, no, he wasn't. Like, well, what do you mean? No, he didn't believe in the religion that killed him. Like, it's insane. That's why you can very plainly tell people, no, Jesus was not Jewish. He was from the tribe of Judah, and make that distinction. Huge difference, right?
Judah and Jewish are not the same.
They are racially.
Okay.
But now, in today's, if you want to be more accurate, instead of calling it Judaism, call it Phariseeism. Because that was the religious group that killed Jesus. So here, maybe you've heard this before. Which is older, Christianity or Judaism?
Judaism.
Many people think Judaism. Yeah, that's not true. That's a total lie. The first texts of the religion that we call Judaism today are from the Babylonian Talmud, which were written hundreds of years after Christ. Mm. The Mishnah, right? Like, this is a total lie. Judaism is not older than Christianity. It's not even, it has nothing to do with the Torah. They have created their own text, the Talmud, which is an interpretation of the writings of Christ. And Jesus said plainly to the Pharisees, had you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his words, how then shall you believe my words?
Mm-hmm.
So people who call themselves Jews today and keep saying, oh, we're God's chosen people. Oh, we're the old religion. No, they're not. You're like, no, your religion is, well, if you want to play off words, yes, they are God's chosen people. The God of this world, Lucifer.
Mm, interesting.
So they are Lucifer's chosen people, absolutely. And
that tie in with the synagogue of Satan?
Yeah, my Lord also identified that. So in Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, he identifies it twice to the seven churches, the one in Smyrna and Philadelphia. Christ warned, even in the first century, that there were those who were calling themselves Jews, but actually were following after Satan. And in the third chapter, when he's talking to the church of Philadelphia, which represents the church ages, Philadelphia is like near the end of time, which is where kind of we are now. He also warns about the synagogue of Satan. I will make those who are the synagogue of Satan bow down at your feet. Mm. This is a real problem. Like, this is bad. And you know, when you think about them being Lucifer's chosen people, Lucifer is a terrible taskmaster. He is a horrible, cruel taskmaster. He will make you feel wonderful at one point and then just tear you down and have people persecute you and all that stuff like that. He's an evil shepherd, a foolish shepherd even, as it says in Zechariah, right? The foolish shepherd whose eye is darkened. Lucifer, unlike Christ, who's the good shepherd, right? But this is what happened to the people who identify as Jews. They have their own state. They have their own money. But they're also the most hated people ever. And in the Book of Mormon, they are the stewards. They say that the Jewish people are a byword and a hiss to the Gentiles, but you are to gather them and treat them well. And basically, that's a summary of tonight's episode, is that Mormonism is the American Zionism. It is right. The original
I never
Christian
heard of
Zionism.
That. So they have the money, the organization. They're the ones that are really driving it. Because I also heard there's approximately 3,000 different Christian denominations in the United States. So they're hardly organized as one.
And that's what they're doing, is they're gathering them. So the coming deception, I can't say it's going to be necessarily Mormon, but what I also discovered in the Book of Mormon is it's very compatible with some of the things that we take as science today. For example, there's one part in the Book of Alma. They're interrogating a man, and they said, do you not know that God created the sun, moon, the planets, the galaxies, the solar systems? That's in Book of Mormon. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. I was like, that's not in the Bible. But in Book of Mormon, they talk about planets, galaxies, suns, right? Which is very Masonic, right? And I'm thinking about how it would fit perfectly. The Mormon Jesus is an alien. Like, it really, I'm not joking. It's the... Contrary to popular belief, all the jokes you've heard were Kolob, polygamy, all that, you will find none of that in Book of Mormon. To get to that, you have to read Pearl of Great Price. There are two other books Joseph Smith wrote. So there's Book of Mormon
Yeah.
Doctrine and Covenants and Pearl of Great Price. That last book is the one that has the stuff about Kolob, about Lucifer and Jesus arguing about whether or not who will become the savior of the world, and polygamy. Polygamy is in Doctrine and Covenants 132 with their strange priesthood. But, you know, when I read these books, I also, I don't know if I said this, but I've even attended their Sunday services. Bah, by the way, yes, yeah, Sunday. We'll get to that.
Oh, boy.
This is something that will be interesting. So Mormons, of course, they go to church on Sunday. Something that shocked me is they keep Sunday the same way Seventh-day Adventists keep the Sabbath. They go from Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. They don't buy or sell, and they strictly observe Sunday.
All right.
Far more strictly than any evangelical or Catholic or Protestants do. And look into it. You know, Brigham Young University, their football team, they don't even play games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like they, if you will, you know how religious Jews are like, oh, I can't turn on my light switch. I need a helper, a Shabbos to help me like turn on the light. That's right. Kind of like how Mormons are when it comes to Sunday. Not as extreme, but they're on that level. And yeah, just if you study their eschatology, they believe that Mormon Jesus will appear on the Mount of Olives when the Jews are being besieged again by the Gentile armies during World War III. He will show them his pierced hands and feet, and they will accept him as the Savior.
When did they start talking about World War III? Because
it's not in Book of Mormon explicitly.
Was that before World War I and II, or did they just tack it on after?
I'm paraphrasing, of course. It doesn't say that. In Book of Mormon, it's called the Abomination of Desolation. It's called just that if anyone's interested, if you want to look up the citation, yeah. Doctrine and Covenants 77, the last verses of it, it describes the two witnesses. Basically, they take everything that is symbolic in the Bible, like Revelation, and they make it literal. And you can find in Doctrine and Covenants, I think maybe if I link it to you, you might even be able to pull it up. It's the Doctrine and Covenants 77. Because you have to keep in mind, this was written in 1832, the verse I'm going to send to you right now. So if I just search Doctrine and Covenants 77, right? And we get all the way down here. Okay, copy, paste this to you.
Okay. Yeah. Where are you putting it in the private chat?
Private chat, yeah.
That's okay.
If you scroll all the way down.
Oh.
And at the very top, before you scroll down, look at when this was written. This was written in
March 1832.
March 1832.
In Hiram, Ohio. Down.
And if you scroll all the way down to the last verse of this chapter.
Yeah.
It says, what is to be understood by the two witnesses in the 11th chapter of Revelation? They are two prophets that are to be raised up to the Jewish nation in the last days at the time of the restoration, and to prophesy to the Jews after they have gathered and built the city of Jerusalem in the land of their fathers. This is 1832.
Mm-hmm.
And it's talking about already in the future, there's going to be a rebuilt Jerusalem, a rebuilt Israel. Like, that's crazy. And yeah, Mormons do consider this a prophecy and stuff. But as I, you know, read from Deuteronomy 13, that doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter that there are many prophecies in Book of Mormon. It prophesies about the Civil War, prophesies about, you know, rise of anti-Semitism, atheism, all these kind of things, right? It doesn't matter. The God is just totally different. And it's not from Book of Mormon itself. I have spoken to people from this denomination. They view that their second coming, because when I visited their churches and spoke to them, I was very interested in their second coming view. Like I told you, I've been studying how do all American Christians view the second coming of Christ. And they described it, yeah, that he will appear on the Mount of Olives. And they use a Bible verse. They use a Bible verse to justify this. If I go to Zechariah, I don't know if you know, this is from the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter
4. I am not a Bible guy, so you're...
Oh, you're not a Bible guy?
No, no, not really, no.
Well, I mean, if you don't know, it's the Old Testament. So this was written hundreds of years before Christ was born. And this verse I'm going to read to you has to do with the crucifixion of Christ. It's an Old Testament prophecy talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, but they use this to say this is actually how the second coming will be. And it shall come to pass, grace and supplication to bitterness. Yes, it's Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And it says, and I will pour upon the house of David the spirit of grace, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. Mm-hmm. And there shall be bitterness for him as his bitterness of his firstborn. Now, that's the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 10. It's a beautiful prophecy speaking of Christ's crucifixion. The Mormons take this verse and they say that Mormon Jesus will appear at the Mount of Olives, and the Jews there will look upon his pierced hands and feet and accept him as the Savior. Now, this is a problem, right? Because as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, I didn't get to explain to you. The seventh day part means, of course, the seventh day Sabbath. Mm-hmm. The Adventist part means the second advent. The first advent was Jesus being born in, Bethlehem, right? The second advent is his second coming. I don't know if you know this, SDAs take the second coming of Christ very seriously. We study every single verse that talk about Christ's second coming. And to put it plainly, when Christ returns, there's not going to be any last minute conversions. The whole world will be totally just wiped clean. So you can imagine with that perspective I have, Mr. Fakeologist, why I'd be concerned when one of the oldest American denominations, and now all modern Christian denominations, are saying, oh no, the second coming of Christ is going to be in Jerusalem, like on the Mount of Olives. Everyone's going to be able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem, right? Like, kind of setting up for a big, you want to talk about fakeology, right? It's the ultimate faking that's coming, right?
So you believe in, so does that make you a dispensationalist then, if you believe in the second coming of Christ?
So dispensationalism is this view that there is a separation between the old and the new covenant, and mm-hmm. that the race of Judaism doesn't matter anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
This idea that we have today is they've confused the two covenants, where they still think that the physical genetic lineage of Abraham means something. Okay. That's the essence of Zionism. They pervert these Old Testament prophecies that speak of heaven. There are many Old Testament prophecies that speak of heaven, but it uses the wording of Israel. So it says, I will gather all the tribes of the world from the high to the low, the great, and they will come to Israel, my holy mountain, right? Many, many times in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, many of these restorations that have been described, or rather the gathering of people, it's a symbolic vision that's talking about heaven. But these people who believe in, if you will, dispensationalism or such, they think that it's actually literally a land. They believe that like Israel would be literally restored.
Mm-hmm.
And you had talked to me about that before. Like, oh, the elites, they've been setting up.
Well, that's what I heard. That's what I thought that they were trying to do. And that's what all these rearrangements in the Middle East and moving the Jews to settle was all about.
That is correct. Much like what happened to me, the reason why I used to be very, eye roll, like I don't really care about Christianity, is because I used to think that Christianity, the Bible, was a control mechanism to control people. And you look around you, come on, look at the churches, they're tithing. Look at the hypocrisy of priests and pastors.
Yeah.
Duh, it seems like a control mechanism. Until you actually study it yourself and you find out, oh, everyone around us has twisted the Bible to fit their agenda. And that, with the state of Israel, is one example. Just one. I mean, it's the biggest example because it's, like you said, caused war, death, expand, the Greater Israel Project and stuff. Like, it's done all of that, but it's a perversion of the Bible. And I can understand much of our audience or people here who are listening or watching who have this conspiratorial mindset, which I certainly do as well. It's very easy to think, oh, the Bible's been corrupted. Oh, it's just a giant control mechanism. I encourage you to do what I did for Mormonism. Like, investigate it yourself. See, think on your own. Don't rely on the testimony of others. And ask, oh, is what I'm criticizing Christianity or churchianity? Because there is a difference. churchianity is the stuff you see all around you, right? You know, pastors being caught with their pants down, or they're like, oh, give, you know, give tithes and offerings, right? That's a difference.
Does Walter Veith resonate with what you're saying? Does he say similar things?
I'm worried to say this, but I've actually met him, and he's a great guy.
The thing is,
at the time when I met him and the emails that I've had with him, so I've only talked about Catholicism. I have not shared with him this perspective. And let me tell you, within Adventism, it's not a popular perspective at all. But I will tell you this. The pastor I've shared it with and all my other Adventist friends, they've been left speechless because I haven't done it on this show. I've only talked in vagaries and paraphrases. But my position can be proven purely just using the Bible. It actually makes too much sense. It's terrifying.
And does anyone else figure this out besides you? Or this is your original research?
As far as I can tell, it's just me. And it came as an answer to prayer. I'm serious. I had prayed and asked God to help me understand Revelation 13. And right after that prayer, one of my online friends like, oh, you got to debate this guy. He's Mormon.
Yeah.
Really, I'm telling you the truth. That's what happened. Yeah. And since then, which is now like a year and a half now, I've been trying to ring the bells, yell, and tell everyone, hey, did you know about this? I'm being very superficial and paraphrasing in my discussion with you. But let's just say it makes way too much sense. And the recording I had sent you earlier, that will get into the nitty gritty about the Bible details. But I know people in this audience probably don't care about that stuff. And it's too much to handle.
It really is for people that really don't follow it. But Walter Veith has such a big audience. You'd figure he would be a good guy to talk to. What if he came on board with your idea?
That would be incredible. It's just, here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Most mainstream Adventists, they are hyper fixated on the papacy. And mm-hmm. make no mistake, I believe the Roman Catholic Church will play a role. I just, when I look at Revelation 13 with the beast with lamb-like horns, aka the New World, right? The New World Empire, aka America. By the way, I don't know if you heard New World Order. Many people, I was like, maybe you should look at it literally, like New World, like literally the New World, like where the continent you and I are on. Like,
we've been in it for a long time. There's nothing, we're in the New World Order. Nothing coming. It's already here.
Exactly.
And now we're just going into the biosecurity state because when things get worse, you know, and things are slowly getting worse in the sense that they racked up huge debt during the COVID era. And now we're going to have to pay for it with everything we have. So that's all coming. So that's going to make things really tricky for people. And it's already tricky for people, I believe.
And by the way, yeah, the COVIDs thing, that was another terrifying example of religion and state. Like, churches were closed down.
Well, it's the only thing that can supersede all laws is the health emergency. And now we're seeing the governor of New Mexico declare guns a health emergency because they see how well health emergencies work for anything they want done. If they really want to solve a problem, and I said this when COVID started, they're going to use this emergency power, this spell that they put on people's ignorance, because people are ignorant of what makes them sick. They're going to use it to make changes in every single business industry that they want. Anything they ever wanted to do but could not, they're going to use this as an excuse. And now the governor of New Mexico, I don't know if she's serious or she's just testing the waters, if she's just trying to push people into seeing how deep their belief system is in the Constitution. But with her declaring a gun a public health emergency because of shootings and gang wars in Albuquerque and suspending the Constitution or just ignoring the Constitution and telling her state deputies to go out and give out misdemeanors for anyone that violates, just like if you violated the other health regulations, which were not laws all around the world, you were given fines and harassed and ticketed, and then they would provoke you into committing some kind of felony so they could actually throw you in jail.
I think the most terrifying thing I saw was when FEMA was offering free vaccines. And my friends were like, oh, look, FEMA's offering like vaccines. I was like, wow. But you got William Cooper on screen? Exactly. Read Behold a Pale Horse. Yeah, he talks about how FEMA was created specifically.
So FEMA was actually giving out vaccines in the United States?
Yes. Yes, in several locations. It was I was like, that's surreal.
Because they really uploaded it to the pharmacists. The pharmacists are some of the most complicit people in the administration of the bioweapon.
Forgive me. Maybe not vaccines, but testing or something like that. I just remember getting a message from a friend saying like, oh, you know, you can get tested here at this FEMA site. And I was like,
mm-hmm. Well, wow. Maybe FEMA ran it, but they brought in their biosecurity warriors to do the actual duties. Maybe FEMA organized the location. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, this also plays into, again, religion. The FEMA was set up as a way to control crisis, like weather crisis, right? And right. I don't know if you, what do you think about like weather weapons? You think that's, I figure you would, right?
I'm not like harp into, no.
Not into that? You don't think it's real?
No.
All right. Well, I don't. I'll just say that theoretically.
I'm not into, I'm not a chemtrailer or any of that stuff. No.
All right, good. I'm just saying that theoretically speaking.
But I would say half my audience is.
Okay, great.
For sure.
So for the theory, just purely theoretically speaking, I won't get into that kind of stuff, but problem, reaction, solution. It's like if you created, theoretically, if they could somehow, right, cloud seeding or whatever, right, create some kind of weather calamity, couldn't they then have FEMA force people to go to locations, right? Like it would totally supersede the Constitution, totally supersede any rights. Because like, oh, there's a flood. Oh, there's a hurricane. Oh, there's a, you know.
Well, anything in the name of safety and security always supersedes rights. That always convinces people to give up their rights. And that's how this got. Are you following the New Mexico governor story? Where she announced this health emergency with regards to shootings?
Starting, oh gosh. Yeah, they associate things, yeah, with health, as you had mentioned earlier.
Well, it's a public health order. That's the only emergency order she can declare as an executive order in her state. And I've been following one of my favorite First Amendment auditors. And this isn't really fakeology, but I can't do fakeology 24/7. And James Freeman is probably one of the biggest ones. And he's a very smart person. He's very well. He speaks very well. He knows more about the law than just about anybody that he runs into. And he challenges the bureaucracy and the enforcers, the law enforcement officers. And he's really pretty big on this latest story about the New Mexico governor. He doesn't know if it's just a test, if she's serious about this, but it's kind of...
Well, we kind of opened today's...
It's a litmus test.
...episode. Robin Fisher briefly mentioned it at the end. I think whenever it's announced in the news, it's kind of, you know, it's like a gun grab. And that actually leads to more people buying guns. So that we could have some kind of, we could all kill each other. I do think it's interesting, yeah, that I hadn't known that it was in the news. But if it is widely being talked about, this goes into the greater picture of why I believe there is, you know, there's been a great rise of transgenderism and homosexuality, right? Like all this stuff, right? Strangely, curiously, no one seemed to make a big deal about it when only true Christians were a decade ago. True Christians have been arguing and fighting against protesting.
Okay. Yes. No, I'm not going to play it. I just wanted to, I'm just creating links as I go. What I do is when I reference something, I put a link in the show notes so people don't have to look at it. So I've got about 6 show notes right now, including dispensationalism. Pardon me?
That's a good practice.
Well, the thing is when I listen to different shows and they don't reference what they're talking about, I find it hard to find. And I figured if they just put a link in the show notes, I could just click on it instead of having to type in the right keywords. But yeah, I try and do it as much as possible. So everyone, I've got your website as show note number 1 and your link to your Perfidious Jesuits as show link, show note number two. Number three was the Book of Mormon on Wikipedia. William Cooper, British Israelism. It just gives people a way to dive deeper into what we're talking about. Especially if they have Especially if they have no idea what we're talking about. And I have to admit, I really don't understand. I'm really not into religion and Bible studies at all. So that's why I really didn't comment too much, because I just don't know what I'm talking about. So there's not much I could ask you that would make any sense here. But
sure. And it was like that stuff was all theory. So that's the theoretical framework. Now let's get practical, right? Like, what is this? How is this going to affect us like now? When you look at, I think I've mentioned this to you in the, tonight's show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Donald Trump might very well be the next president of the United States.
Yeah, it's possible. I could
be totally wrong. I'm reserved the right to be wrong. But the reason why I think he would kind of fit the bill is when him and Pence got into office,
one of the first
things they had done was repeal the Johnson Amendment, which was a piece of legislation that made it if a church became a political breeding ground. If your church said, you must vote on this legislation, you must vote for this candidate and stuff, it would lose its tax-exempt status. That was the point of the Johnson Amendment, which, by the way, that I support that. That's a good piece of legislation, right? You shouldn't. Church and state, keep them far apart, right? Don't let your churches turn into places where you talk about politics, right? The first thing Trump and Pence did was repeal that. You know, Trump made many false promises. That was a promise he kept, and he did do that, repealing the Johnson Amendment, which has basically removed, as he called it, removing the gag on the churches.
Mm-hmm.
And what we find, this is, like I mentioned, the rise of homosexuality and transgenderism. I knew something was up when June, which is Pride Month,
all the news
were talking about Bud Light. Do you remember that stupidity?
Of course.
And they're all like, how can we have a transgender person on our Bud Light? And they were making such a big deal about it. And everyone's like losing their mind. And they're like, look at Drag Queen Story Hour. I remember looking at that and going, you're 8 years late? Like, or something. I was like, you're a decade behind. What is, why only now are people caring about this, right? It's, and I was like, that's weird, because
I don't think everyone is, I really, don't think everyone is interested in every one of these stories. So when they say that everyone is going losing their mind about it, I think this whole idea,
they play it off. Yeah.
This fake consensus is one of their biggest fake tricks. Let me just play this clip from a Tim Truth show, actually. And because I clipped this, because this guy, this caller inner, was making a lot of sense. Let's see if I clipped it properly. And first, let's turn on the sound. I don't know why the sound always stays muted, even if I unmute it. But this whole idea about fake consensus.
They should leverage that. They should be like, oh, what did this person find? Let's turn this into a news report. They never did.
Okay. The final thing is, you keep talking about magic, and there's a saying that I know about the media, and it has to do with exactly what you were just saying. The media doesn't need to convince you of anything. They just need to create the illusion that other people are convinced.
Yeah. Boom. Right.
That's the magic.
Yeah. That's the.
There's your clip. And I think I got it right. So I don't think everyone thinks a certain way. I think the media pretends that everyone has this consensus.
Absolutely.
So that's the BS. I don't think most people give a rat's behind about the teaching of these drag queen story hours. I got a million better things to do with my time than go protest that. If parents are willingly taking their kids, because there's no way their children are raising their hands saying, I want to go see drag queen story hour. The parents are taking them. And when I see parents exercising free will and doing what they want with their children, I'm not going to get in their way. So if they really want to do that, then more power to them. But I think it's crazy. But I definitely am not going to interfere, just like I would never tell you what medicine to stick in your body or what poisons to put in your body. I'm not going to get in your way if you want to do it, but don't get in my way if I don't want to do it, or don't start tell me what to do. So if that's a more libertarian point of view, I don't know what is. So just leave me alone and don't tell me what to do and I'll leave you alone. But same with... Yeah, so I just thought the whole thing was just overblown. I don't think most people could care less about it.
100%. That's what I'm trying to say, is this consensus reality established by the media. I'm not agreeing with it or saying everyone cared. I was more like, why are they talking about this now only? When, I don't know if you know, when Drag Queen Story Hour first started, mothers had protested outside of it and they called the SWAT team and had snipers set up against mothers who were against Drag Queen Story Hours years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago, right? Like, where was the media then? Where was the... No, they decided to just lag it behind 10 years as we are nearing an election year. And like I said,
we're always in an election year in the U.S. It's always the year before, the year after, or the year of, if you notice that. So it's, I don't think election years mean anything except on maybe a local level. And
I mean, all elections are fake. I totally. Yeah. So
Bill Cooper said the presidential elections are all fake because they don't, they're not constitutionally required.
So yes, they're local. Politics are the only thing you should care about. Sure.
Yeah. So you remember that Bill Cooper's that clip?
Yep.
That's some good stuff. Yeah.
I think what happens is if presidential candidates are selected rather than elected, they need to convince the masses that we all made the decision. And that's the point of having these stupid stories around everywhere, is to make people think, oh, you know, it sounds about right. We need a conservative populist candidate like Donald Trump. And again, not many people know this. Donald Trump is the king of Israel. You know, he moved the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
He promised so much when he said, we're going to keep winning and winning. And he meant that for Israel, not America. And again, most of his followers are evangelical Zionist Christians. And I'm telling you, man, that June, once the month of June, which normally, if you remember the previous Pride months, they were all like, oh, gay pride is actually great. Suddenly, there was this turn where they're like, people are boycotting Budweiser. They're losing some. When you and I both know that didn't affect anything. It was just
That was the transgender thing. That wasn't the gay stuff, really. And I don't even think the gays want the transgender stuff tacked on their movement either. Because it just...
I could talk to you.
Yeah, I don't...
The LGBT, that acronym... the chronology of those letters are important. And in Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul explicitly names it, goes in that order.
Oh, is that right? Read it that way.
Yes, in Romans chapter 1, he says, first the women neglect the natural use of, they go against nature. Then the men start going that which is unseemly. And then it's like they make an image to God. I mean, transgenderism is its own thing, but...
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up because I only usually go an hour. So we've already gone an hour and a half. But you can come back if you want to keep going and discussing. We can make this sort of a Sunday thing, even though it's not the Sabbath, if you want. And we can keep on this idea, exploring this topic. You have your own broadcast, it looks like, under the live button on YouTube.
Yeah, it's more of a... So my audience is much younger than I think the viewer base of Fakeologists. And I like to play video games while talking about this kind of stuff, just because amongst the youth, that is a very popular thing, you know, like Let's Plays, where someone's playing a video game.
Well, is that right? So you're actually playing a video. So here's your broadcast.
If you skip in the middle, yeah, you can see it's a video game that's being played.
So you're playing.
Douglas Wynn, please.
So you're playing a game right now?
People's beliefs.
On this video?
Yeah, I don't know if the audience would pretty much enjoy it.
No, I'm not going to play much. I'm just curious what you're doing.
But then an alien race came and planted.
So while you're playing, are you sermonizing or are you reading from something?
The chat, yeah. And I don't get many viewers, but in my chat, it's kind of active for the 20 or so people who are watching.
Well, you got 21,000 subscribers. You must be saying something, right? You got way more than me.
I'll just say my subscriber base came from my video game videos, like, which had nothing to do with religion. Once I started making videos and live streams on religion, I started nosediving. And I don't mind. I don't care. You know what I mean? I come from an era of the internet where my YouTube was like a imager album. Like, I would update sporadically random stuff. you notice now with YouTube's branding, subscribe to me to see a new video, donate to my Patreon. The YouTube has turned into TV channels basically now.
Yeah, of course. They're just trying to replace broadcast TV for sure. They're just going after the big brands. So the big brands don't want to be associated with anything controversial. It's just money. I don't see why it's such a big deal. Like people think, oh, they're just censoring it because they don't like what I'm saying. No, the brands, the people that pay for this crap don't want to be associated with whatever you're talking about. And that's most things.
Hard disagree on that.
So what do you think is it's all about?
So YouTube is owned by Alphabet Inc.
Yeah.
The parent company of Google.
Yeah.
And YouTube has always been in the red. Contrary to popular belief, YouTube has always been in red. They have never made a profit from it.
I believe that.
So what you need to also understand is, I don't want to give away my expertise or my area of work, but in the new era, the new information age we live in, data is more valuable than money.
Okay.
I don't know if you know, data is way more valuable
than money. Okay, data is the new gold.
Oh, absolutely. If you're going to talk about like data being oil, China is the new Saudi Arabia. It's crazy. Like it is, if you think about it, money is fiat currency. It goes up and down based on whatever the Federal Reserve. Data, the old saying, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Truly, truly, right? And if your video goes viral or spreads on YouTube, that's, we don't want that. So I think information control is far more important. Like the whole ads thing, that's an old way of thinking. Like on TV.
Okay.
Glenn Beck, all those. By the way, Glenn Beck, who's Mormon. But
all right, yeah. And he has the best microphones, by the way. I listened to his show, not because I could care less about it, but he has these white microphones hanging from the ceiling, and they're so good. I just listen to his show because I can't believe how great the sound is. I don't care what he's talking about most of the time. But yeah,
I'd never watched Glenn Beck. I just know him because he's Mormon, a later life convert, no less. And then he suddenly propelled himself to the top. It's spooky. But yeah, the thing is...
Or he was pulled to the top, maybe.
Yeah. It's the thing about the ads, though. It doesn't apply to the information age with data, right?
Oh, that's really interesting. Okay, that's cool. So you're saying that an IPS, I don't know if you listen to Infinite Plane Society, he says this is more about securing information, this whole war. He thinks that I'm not.
So you're big on COVIDs, right? Remember Event 201? You must know about Event 201.
Yes, yes.
So you watched it. Something that blew my mind, a huge portion, you're thinking they're planning a pandemic and, running a test run. What do you think they're doing? Oh, we're going to have so many bodies. We're not going to be able to bury them.
Yeah.
No. Do you remember what the number one topic of discussion was?
No.
The control of information.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I'm getting at. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's really to control ideas and quarantine ideas. That's what Tim Osmond says. They want to quarantine ideas because there is the potential that the truth or things we talk about, things that keep the control grid working, if people find out what's going on, then they have a big problem to control people. So they need this biosecurity, info security state set up to quarantine certain information. Is that what you're getting at a bit?
100%. And what is it? Mr. E being banned. I used to follow him back on YouTube when he had YouTube. I couldn't believe he got banned because he's making fun of celebrities, people in the open.
Yes.
What? I was like, how on earth was that considered harassment or cyber stalking? I was like, is this real?
Well, they call it hate.
He got banned.
Cyber hate. And
cyber hate, right? Yeah. And I was like, that's insane. How on earth could he get banned when he was... And I, by the way, big fan of his video. He made me, oh man, he opened my eyes to that angle of the stuff. It made me laugh so hard. Also a Christian, by the way.
He's very good.
He's a
very
good guy.
Good.
Yeah, I've emailed him.
Really great guy to talk to. He's going to be back. He said he wants to do a couple more videos and then he'll come back and discuss. But yeah, he's super solid guy. And even if he's wrong about some of them, I still think he's on the right track. For sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I love how you said that. Even if he's wrong about some of it, I might be wrong about some of my interpretation stuff. Who cares? Why is it that normal, everyday people like you and me may be making theories or ideas, right?
Yeah.
Why does that need to be censored? Like, people hold a higher standard to randos on the internet, like you and me, than our public officials, than our news anchors, than our people who actually have a job of making sure they have the facts right.
You got that right. And
everything's backwards.
Well, and maybe we're flying over the target all the time. You got your theory on what you were talking about. And I talk about Vic Sims and PsyOps, and it's got a super limited audience. It has no mass commercial appeal. And that's why many people stay away from my topics, because not enough people believe it or care about it and are willing to even listen to it, because they just don't believe it, I guess. They'd rather me, if I talked about aliens tonight in Mexico, I probably have a much larger audience, but I don't believe in any of that either. So I'm not going to talk about it. I don't believe
in Jägermeister.
I don't talk about chemtrails because I don't really see any evidence of that. And I don't talk about a lot of the conspiracy stuff that others believe in. And if you believe in all that, then you can go listen to those guys. But that's not what I talk about. I'm trying to just get to what I think is my truth. And if you agree with me, then you'll listen to what I'm talking about. But I leave a lot of stuff out that the regular community might be talking about.
Yeah, sure. And there's even now, we need like an alternative media.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the alt. Yeah, Tim IPS, who's Tim Osmond, he says, we are the fringe of the fringe. It's a pretty small crowd. A very small audience, actually. And my audience is quite small. But it's pretty consistent and pretty hardcore. And there is I get some support, which I'm grateful for. It's not, I don't make a living off this, but I do it as a gauge to see how serious the people are that listen to me. And I'm pretty pleased with the group that comes out all the time to this website. Because I'm not afraid to talk about certain things. But if I'm not interested or don't understand it, I'm not going to pursue it. Because what use am I if I'm not interested and don't understand it?
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. And
Like people say, why don't you talk about vitamins? Well, I'm not really interested in vitamins at the moment, but they probably aren't fake. They probably don't do anything. So I haven't talked about them or posted about them yet, but maybe I'll get interested in them later.
Once you start selling your own supplement, that's when I'm gonna be like, oh gosh, why was I on this guy's show? I'm joking. You know.
Yeah, I'm not into supplements. I mean, I have taken vitamins, but I have a funny feeling they just run right through you anyway. So I have no idea. But no,
it's just crazy though, because I feel like people don't think anymore. What they do is they've outsourced their thinking. So in their brain, they store a bunch of facts. Like you've heard of like these kosher conspiracy theories that are very superficial, QAnon, you know, all this stuff. People have these data points in their brain, but they let their favorite talking head on YouTube make the connections for them. They don't do independent research, kind of like what this website does.
Well, I'm a collator of information. I'm not, I've never said I'm a researcher. So I collate information from different sources and bring it together into one place. And I put it in the form of videos on FakoTube, into the Fakeologist forums, where people can bring it up and discuss it. And my blog. And of course, the audio chats, that's what I do. And again, I put my stuff in one place where everyone can find it and leave it open so anyone can look at it and try and figure it out. And I draw all kinds of different people and definitely different topics. Your topic is sort of outside my normal interest or discussion, because I'm totally ignorant about religion. But I like talking with people like you and Robin Fisher, because even though I don't understand your angle, I know you guys are probably coming at truth from a pretty pure angle. And could lead to more revelations too.
I don't know if you've heard, maybe has anyone ever called you, maybe as a joke, a common term is schizo? That's maybe a slang term amongst younger people. Yeah. They call everyone schizo.
No. What does it mean today? I know what it means to me, but what does it mean to the young people?
It's short for schizophrenic, but younger people, they use that term. If someone ever says, puts forth a theory or an idea that's outside of what's their favorite Twitch streamer or like what they see on Twitter. Oh, yeah. I've been called that many times. And it's like, you know, when I make these connections, they always call me, oh, you know, Leo, that guy's a schizo. And then what I said ends up happening. You ever notice that whenever people always attack, you know, free thinkers, conspiracy theorists all the time, but then what they say when it happens, they never go back and go, oh, that guy was right. No, they just then accept whatever then happens, totally forgetting about all the times they've been making fun of the person who...
They never say they're sorry, or they never say, oh, you were right. No, I've never heard that. I know what schizo means. It means you have obviously split or multiple personality, but I've been pretty consistent there, so I don't know. I don't really prophesize on this channel. I don't have a clue what's going to happen next, other than what they tell us. So they do tell you what they want to do next. They do tell the plans are out there. You just have to read them. So,
well, yeah, and some of the stuff like with the whole, you know, World Economic Forum and stuff, I don't believe it. Like when it's so popular that everyone's talking about it, I'm like, I think it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. So that's the same position I had about the Catholic Church. I'm like, well, everyone, you know, some Adventist channels, they have a video with over 1 million views exposing the Roman Catholic Church and stuff. And I'm like, I don't think this is it. Now, if I made a video or a stream about my views saying, oh, I think the seventh head is actually Israel and the United States is making New Jerusalem and Donald Trump is supporting. Yeah, that wouldn't get very far. You would either get shadow banned or outright banned, right? So,
Yeah, it's well, we can go into it a little more, but I usually only go for about an hour, so we've gone over time today.
Sorry for extending it. Yeah.
No, it's okay. You have a lot to say, and you have a lot. There's a lot of explaining, of course, with what you're talking about. But we can talk about it a bit more, and maybe mix it in with a little more COVIDs. A little more. Are you interested in the 9/11 story?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Clues Forum and Simon Shack's September Clues at all?
I've heard you mention it before, but I didn't look into it. If you could post a link to me in Discord, I would certainly look into it.
Well, at the top of FakoTube is September Clues. I've left that frozen, or pinned rather, to the top. The other one I have is Nuke Lies, and those two videos circulate, so I got 5 people watching it now. We've got 50,000 views over 3 years, which isn't very good, other than the fact that this is FakoTube and it's not widely shared or distributed. It's not YouTube, of course. But definitely take a look at it if you're interested in the research. I'm stunned at how many people don't really know September Clues. And I've been talking about it since 2012. So where are we? 11 years now. 11 years. And you know, one guy came on the show last week that was mentioning it. And I thought, oh, good. I finally have someone to talk to about it other than the author, Simon Shack. But this person only was half believing in it. And the important half, the simulated victims, he was not prepared to accept and or really investigate, which I found stunning. And
someone in chat said no planes. I wanted to make my Twitter handle at one point, no planes 9/11, but it was a banned handle. I was very sad.
Really?
It's already taken. Yeah, I already got taken and banned. So you can't take a banned handle. Basically,
you can't. That's an. I didn't know there were banned handles on. Is that on YouTube?
Twitter. At one point, I was. You can't be, to make that my Twitter.
You can't be no planes and 6 or 7 extra digits after that. That's not possible.
Apparently not.
Wow.
Someone had already done it and been banned. So it's sealed. No more.
That's crazy. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap it up if you don't mind. I start the day really early. I've been up since super early. I did a show with Rick and An Ounce of Salt. That was how many hours ago? almost 15 hours ago. So I'm kind of whipped. But we can talk about this some more if you want, and other topics. You sound like you're a knowledgeable person. If you want,
for sure. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, we can try and figure this out a little more. You can keep trying to explain it to me and see if I can pick it up. And I need a little more time to absorb some of the biblical things. But if you want to talk about it and other stuff, including COVID and what it means to you from your perspective, and the U.S. and things that are a little more relatable to my audience, that would be pretty cool, including 9/11. So if you watch September Clues, it's only 90 minutes or so. We can talk about that as well next week if you want to come back.
For sure.
Up to you. All right, Leo, I appreciate it. Everyone can go to Leo's YouTube channel. It's show note number 1. Is there any video you would recommend on your channel that they watch?
Weather Zionism and the Alex Jones one, the two latest videos in videos.
Okay, go to YouTube is so confusing. They got this live thing and this videos thing. They're all videos. So Alex Jones and Weather Zionism.
Those two, yeah.
One is 3 minutes, one's 2 minutes. Okay, I can handle that. So we'll watch that, and maybe we'll come back and see what you're talking about for next time. Okay, Leo, thanks a lot. Take care.
Thank you.
And Leo is also on Discord if you want to hit him up on the Fakeologist server, fake11.com/Discord. And thanks, Leo. We'll talk to you again. Okay, there goes Leo Pirate. Thank you, everybody. Show notes exist under the video. There's a link to the blog post. And also, this is going to be FAQ number 761 with Leo Pirate. Just go to fakeologist.com/blog or click the show notes underneath the video. We have audio, we have video, we have both. And don't forget, this is value for value. If you like this show, please support it like all these other fine folks who I have mentioned off the top of the broadcast. Thank you guys so much for donating. Fakeologist.com/donate. You guys are the best. And you keep me going. And we should be back maybe tomorrow to continue broadcasting as fall shows up and summer disappears. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.